Transport chaos in France as workers go on strike. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rob Young. Good morning. It's being called Black Tuesday in France. Trade unions have started a series of rolling strikes causing severe disruption on the country's transport network. Railway staff, rubbish collectors and energy workers are protesting against plans by the reformist President Emmanuel Macron to shake up workers' terms and conditions. Eric Cheney is an economic advisor at the Institut Montaigne in Paris.
It's the first time there is a confrontation between the new team in power and the unions. Only one-tenth of the high-speed trains are running. Something like 25% of normal trains are running. The way the strike has been designed by unions is very smart. They will be on strike 1 or 2 days per week. So that will minimize the cost for the strikers, but that will maximize the impact on the economy. So if it works, unions might be able to have a significant impact on the economy itself.
Really, even though France is used to strikes?
The last time this happened was in 1995. The government at that time had to shelve the welfare state reform that it wanted to do.
Where do the public stand on this?
I think by and large, the public opinion is with the president. They want reforms, provided, of course, that the reforms do not hit themselves too hard. The younger generations, which have voted massively for Macron, by the way, want this country to change, and they want those who have privileges to be forced to give up their privileges.
And these reforms are deregulatory changes, aren't they?
That is correct, but the labour market reform has been already passed. I would say it's a gentle reform. It's about the status of the railways workers. They can retire when they are 50. They benefit from a lot of benefits, but the company is deeply in the red. So the government wants to change the status for future workers.
Eric Cheney, let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mostly lower after a sell-off on Wall Street on Monday. In London, shares in Sky are up 1% after Disney said it would buy the European broadcaster's news channels, regardless of whether its planned acquisition of 21st Century Fox is completed. Now, Britain is to introduce a ban on sales of ivory as part of an international effort to stop the decline in elephant numbers. Charlie Mayhew from the charity Tusk has been campaigning for this law for years.
It's brought into play a total ban on ivory, bar a few very narrowly defined exemptions, which to our mind are pragmatic and responding to the concerns of people like the musicians who have got old musical instruments that have got pieces of ivory on them, the museums that have got ivory. These are all things which are not driving the ivory trade. Pieces will have to be registered, and anything that the antiques industry deem is more than 100 years old, it will be allowed.
Will the British law make a difference to the global trade in ivory? Will it help reduce the number of elephants killed for their tusks every year?
What's important about the decision is not so much in terms of the volume of trade that comes through the UK, but the signal that we are sending to the rest of the world that ivory is no longer socially acceptable, and that this trade, and indeed the wider illegal wildlife trade, really must be clamped down on.
Charlie Mayhew. After damaging droughts, several regional governments in India said they'd write off billions of dollars in loans taken out by farmers. But many farmers say it's not happened. The BBC's Samir Hashmi reports from Maharashtra.
It's evening time and Govinda Barlawa is walking behind his oxen as they plough his farm. Govinda has been farming for more than 2 decades, but in the last 5 years, he hasn't earned any money. Each season since 2012, his crops have been spoiled by back-to-back droughts. And now, he has a debt of nearly $2,500, which he can't pay back.
If the debt is forgiven, then it'll help me a lot. I have 4 children to educate and a family to feed. I'm the only breadwinner in the family.
Over the last 10 years, consecutive droughts and unseasonal rain has damaged crops across the state, forcing farmers to borrow more money in order to continue with farming and support their families. Farming income has been declining across most parts of India, prompting farmers across the country to take the streets to highlight their plight. Last year, Maharashtra became one of the 5 states that announced programs to erase these debts. The decision was welcomed by the farming community, But there's a lot of uncertainty around, with many rural farmers not sure whether their loans have been cancelled. And even then, there are some that say the policy won't stop the crisis.
Loan repayment cancellations won't solve our problems. The main issue is that we don't get proper remuneration for the crops we grow.
We don't have proper irrigation facilities. Secondly, we need 24 hours of electricity. If these things are provided, then we wouldn't need any kind of financial help.
But even economists like Vivek Dahejia also believe that the policy is bad economics.
A loan waiver essentially is a band-aid solution. The basic reality is there are too many people engaged in unproductive agriculture in India. Farmers need to move into non-farm activities.
Maharashtra is expected to spend more than $5 billion to cancel all loan repayments. And while the policy is expected to make life easier for farmers in the near term, it's unlikely to address the root of the problem.
Samir Hashmi reporting. And finally, if the recent stock market turmoil has been too much for you, take a look at Iraq. Its market is up by 11% this year as investors there bet on a recovery after the defeat of so-called Islamic State. The Dow Jones is down over the same period. In London, I'm Rob Young with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.